We have a special treat tonight. Hertz cows are here. They provided me with one of the funniest moments I've ever had in 71 years. They were staying over at mine and my house before they went to Israel the first time to start working there. And Jacob, who is now just a wonderful young man, came up, and I was sitting on the in front of the fireplace, and I was talking with Larry or Bess or both. We're having a conversation. And Jacob comes up, he's about this high, about right up to that flower, and he looks at me. He's got these real sad eyes, and he goes, "We have no home." Oh, man. Everybody's heart melted. And they've been in the land now about 25 years, something like that. And they have a wonderful facility that God has provided for them, this immense house where they take in various groups of tourists, etc., and show them around. And they've been faithful to God's calling now a real long time. It was not easy moving to the land, and now they're kind of settled there. Probably feel out of place here. Then again, a lot of Americans feel out of place here now, too.
Yeah.
We got some stranger type of folk running the nation right now. Please keep our military and our civilians in Afghanistan in prayer for obvious reasons. And I have no idea what's about to happen, but it is an ominous feeling about it, and we need to be praying, especially for this next election coming up. In any event, I'd like to ask Larry to come up right now so that I don't keep rambling on. Hopefully we'll get some news from the land of our fathers. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for my brother and sister, for the wonderful family they have, for the joy they bring wherever they go, being faithful to the calling that you have laid upon their hearts and souls. I pray for your protection for them, Lord God, for the anointing of your presence wherever they go and with whomever they speak. I thank you that you brought them into my life, and I ask for your grace and mercy to be poured out upon them in abundance, Lord God. Open my brother's mouth. May your words fill it in Yeshua's precious name.
Amen.
I can never tell if my voice is being heard because of the position of that. Can you guys hear me pretty clearly?
Oh, yeah.
William, greetings. Just to clear up one of the things that Bert said, we were hosting mission teams as opposed to just touring people around. And over the last 5 years, we've hosted about 40 teams in which we go out into the community, into ministries, believing and unbelieving, and try to share about the Lord as best as we can. So just to kind of clear that up, I'm going to talk a little bit about it at the end, not a whole lot, but I'm really not going to be talking about what's going on in Israel, because that's why I'm here. There's nothing going on in Israel. Literally. It went from bad to worse with the change of the government. The lockdowns became worse. It's very difficult. The tourist industry is just about decimated, and it's the pretty much the largest revenue-producing aspect outside of military arms in the entire country, so it's really been a heavy, heavy blow to the economy. There isn't much good to talk about what's going on in Israel. And from what I can see from watching the news and reading all sorts of stuff, we've been in the country about a month. We were with our son, who just had a brand new baby, little girl.
Amen.
It's not a whole lot better here. As a matter of fact, it might even be worse here. So I have nothing good to say, actually. If you can remember what I talked about the last two times, it's not good, but just so at least that we can have something to be joyful about, I hope. I have a couple of jokes for you. I like even a couple of jokes. I only have two. I read the others to Bess. She said, you can't do those. So I agreed with her. Two Jewish jokes. Mr. Schwartz, sitting in his hospital room, wearing only a top hat, when Mrs. Steinberg strolls in, why are you sitting there naked? It's all right, says Schwartz. Nobody comes to visit. But why the hat? Maybe somebody will come. Pest didn't like that one either, but I said, I'm gonna say. A guy from an Orthodox Jewish family goes out and marries a Native American girl and brings the bride home to his mother. The bride says, my name is Hannah Canaloni, but you can call me Falling Water. The mother says, my name is Sarah Bernstein, and you can call me Sitting Shiva. I can do that if you like. I can remember the first time I spoke here, when I was an elder, a long, long time ago. It's the first time I got a chance to speak. And Jimmy Grubbs, some of you will remind me, said, okay, Larry, you're up next week. So I said, how long do you have to talk? He said, about 45 minutes. And I said, I can't do 45 minutes. He said, all right, how about 30? I said, I don't think I can do 30 minutes. He said, how about 20? So we settled on about 15, because I was so nervous. So I didn't get a chance to time this, Bert, so if I'm going over, give me a wave or something. You might recognize these words from Martin Luther King. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be plain and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. May it happen soon. Dr. King made that speech at the March on Washington, August 28th. 1963, it'll be 58 years tomorrow, in which he called for civil and economic rights and an end to racism in the United States. Sound familiar? He was, of course, quoting from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60. Joel in 2:28, and Luke writes, as Peter quotes in Acts 2:17, same verse. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now, I don't know about you, but I definitely fall into the old men portion of that prophecy, along with your pastor, your rabbi. In June of 2019, Bess, and it just so happens that Carmen Brill is with us here tonight, who served 3 years in Israel with us. They were in Barcelona doing a women's conference for about 8 days, June of 2019. So talking about a little over 2 years ago. I was alone in our home for those 8 days, totally alone, just with our dog. And I had committed to really seek the Lord for wisdom and direction, fasting, praying, reading the Word. In over 35 years of being a believer, I had never had that opportunity before to be alone for that long. A couple days max, to be honest, maybe three, but never that long. So the first thing I want to tell you is try that one time if you have the opportunity. You know, if you're married, you're working, it's tough. But it just so happens that I had that window of time that the Lord gave me. And He will speak to you. And He spoke to me. As a matter of fact, I had a dream. As a matter of fact, I had 8 dreams that I actually were able to remember and write down. If some of you can relate to that, you know, you had a dream, you forget it, it's gone. I haven't had 8 dreams, I don't think, in the entire time I've been a believer that I can actually remember vividly. But in that 8-day window, I had 8 dreams. I'm only going to talk about 3 of them. Dream number 1. Hang with me on this. A lot of numbers involved. I'll try to make as much sense of it as I can. How many of you guys here have been to Israel? Okay, not too many. So a small handful. There's a place in Israel called En Gedi. I know Bert's been there. I saw a post he did once about it. It's one of his favorite places. It's a place where David hid from King Saul. Mountains, valleys, caves, waterfalls. It's unbelievable. And we would take every team there, usually on Shabbat, when everything else is closed. The parks are open. So in the dream, the team is behind me, and I'm going up to the window. And I asked the gal, the clerk, I said, okay, how much is it for my team? What's it going to cost? And she said, it's 1,250 shekels each. And I said, what? You got to be kidding. You're kidding, right? What's the price? She said, no, I'm not kidding. That's the price. 1,250 shekels. Just to give you a rough idea, today's exchange rate, I know it's tough. If you haven't traveled internationally, exchange rates don't mean much to you. But in 2019, the exchange rate was for $1, you can get 3.6 shekels. Today, it's 3.25. I checked in, what was the year? In 2006, the exchange rate was 5. So what that means, for $1 you get 5 shekels. Then a bunch of years later you get, for $1 you only get 3 shekels, 3.6 shekels. And then a couple of years ago, or now, you only get 3.25 shekels. In other words, the value of the dollar is shrinking. You can buy less for the dollar. You get less shekels for the dollar. So, back to the numbers. 1,250 shekels to get in. I see the words, a loaf of bread for a day's pay. And I woke up. I knew it was in the book of Revelation. I couldn't remember where it was. So I researched it out. You've probably read it 100 times. Revelation 6:6 in the New American Standard. It says, and I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not damage the oil or the wine. In the New Living Translation, it says, I heard a voice from among the four living beings, a loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. Don't waste the olive oil and the wine. In those days, a denarius was what you got for a day's pay. And it took a quart of wheat to make a loaf of bread. Okay? With me so far? I was a high school math teacher for about 5 years in New York when I first graduated from college. I worked as an accountant for four major Christian organizations, three in Israel and one here, totaling almost 15 years. I'm a numbers guy, and God knew that. When I was a kid, I was kind of a baseball nut like a lot of New York people. I would calculate a baseball player's batting average right after he got done, my favorite players, to make sure that the next day, the people who posted who was the leaders, that they got it right. I would do the same thing with the pitchers, with their earned run average. It fascinated me. Even today, my friends laugh at me. I took my age, which will remain unknown, as a ratio to the life expectancy in Israel. Okay? With me? And being a sports fan and an avid football fan, I took that ratio, and a football game is 60 minutes. So I took that ratio and superimposed it over a football game. I did the calculation and I figured out I'm just about in the 2 minute one. Oh. Don't laugh. Some of you are
close
to that. Maybe a few of you might be in overtime. But I want you to remember that. 2 minute warning. Let's get back to the dream. Loaf of bread for a day's pay. The average wage in Israel is 10,000 shekels a month. That breaks down to 333 shekels a day. If you do the math on that, it comes out to $92.50 per day. That means that a loaf of bread, according to the dream, according to the prophecy, will cost $92.50. The cost of bread in Israel is 7 shekels, $1.94. Government controls the price of a few things, and bread's one of them. It's pretty constant. 7 shekels. So there's a difference there. The loaf of bread has increased 48 times, if you do the math. It's a simple calculation, 48 times. The cost to get into En Gedi is 26 shekels. So that means, if you multiply the 26 shekels times 48 times, you get 1,248 shekels. The Lord told me it's 1,250 shekels to get in. So I, you know, considering the fluctuation of the prices, the exchange rate, the dream was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
In 2019, and even as much as 6 months ago, nobody was talking about inflation. Nobody. Within the last 30 days, that's all you hear about. On television, and online, everywhere, all the talking heads, people in in the money business. Hyperinflation, disinflation, that inflation. A few months ago, nothing. Dream number two. The Lord knows how to get my attention. I was observing on the sidelines a touch football game. I was just on the sidelines towards one end of the goal line, watching this football game just about getting ready to begin. So here's a team on one side, team on the other. They kick the ball off. As the ball is coming down, they kind of huddle up. I can see this now. I'm the only one who can see it, the angle that I had. A guy catches the ball. There's three or four people in a group. He puts the ball under the sweatshirt of one of the gals who's on the team. And now everybody has their hands free, can't see the ball under the sweatshirt, and they're running down the field, running towards the goal line to score a touchdown. And I'm over there yelling and screaming, "What are you doing? That's not legal. You can't do it. It's no good. It doesn't count." She goes over the dish, she scores. Everyone is yelling and screaming. I see the words, "Great deception is coming." And that's when I woke up. These were the things that I wrote down. I was in Ohio for about a month. I started working on this a little bit before then. All of these didn't exist, most of them, in 2019 when I had this dream. Are we being deceived regarding the election?
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, now, this was June of 2019. President Trump still had 2 years left. Things were pretty good. I came here and spoke in January of 2020. COVID had just broke out. These dreams were vivid in my mind, but I'm thinking of the dreams, the thing, I'm not gonna come there and tell about these dreams. They're gonna think I'm some kind of wacko. I didn't even talk about it. Israel gets shut down. We were about to have our best year ever as far as being busy with groups. The entire year was canceled. We came back in October, and I spoke here in October of 2020. Still, Trump is in office, still has a few months left, winning in the polls. He's at the getting thousands of people at his
rallies,
and Biden, of course, getting 100 at best.
Right.
He felt it was a shoo-in. How could Biden beat Trump? It was impossible. No way. Are we being deceived regarding the election, the pandemic, its origins and purpose, the vaccines, the wearing of masks, the World Health Organization, the CDC, Dr. Fauci? Sounds like a monster movie. Critical race theory, the economy. It's great, the economy's great. Stocks are through the roof. The media, big tech. Are we being deceived about what's going on the southern border? There's some recent news. Global warming and climate change, the Green New Deal. UFOs, I think more about that will come. They don't even call it UFOs anymore. Now it's UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. Why they changed the name, I have no idea. Chemtrails, also known as geoengineering. A lot of people don't know anything about that. A lot of people think I'm nuts. I am. Are we being deceived about the attack on the Capitol? And are we being deceived about Afghanistan and what has happened over the last 20 years and what we've been told about what's going on in Afghanistan over the last 20 years. Dream number three. Remember, this was in June of 2019. It's kind of hard to remember what was going on then, but things were pretty decent. This was very short. I was walking down a street and there was this very stately building, white mansion type building. It wasn't the White House, but I knew that it was something, I wasn't exactly sure actually, even after I had the dream, exactly what it represented, okay? But it was a stately building, important building. I walked past it, I walked down the block, so here's the building, here's the corner. I walked down this way, and as I turned this corner, I could no longer see the building. So it must have been like over here, I think, the building. So when I came over here, I couldn't see the building. But there was a tremendous rumbling, like an earthquake, a giant collapse. I saw the stones, so all I saw were the stones that were falling down from the building, they were trickling down. So I couldn't see what was going on, but I could certainly hear it. And I saw the remains of the building from this corner this way, looking this way. So at the time, I thought it was just the economy. But then, as I thought more about it, one thing was for sure, that God was telling me that whatever it was just around the corner. Now that was June of 2019, 2 years ago, but to 2 years, is nothing to God. So I knew it was just around the corner. That's what he impressed upon me. I wrote down here, I said, I must admit initially, so I was trying to make sense of the dream. One thing was clear, the collapse was just around the corner. I did think the building represented the economy. Now I'm totally convinced that the building stood for America and what the founding fathers intended the United States to be. Just before the founding of the nation, a Christian revival swept through the 13 original states that was led by George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards. It's been rightly called the Great Awakening. The impact on these states was huge, and even men like Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Samuel Adams were greatly impacted by it. It's no secret that many of the states that made up this remarkable union drafted constitutions that were literally lifted out of the five books of Moses. We must not underestimate the impact that this Christian revival had on the drafting of the Constitution that set the 13 states aside as a remarkable union. Even the Liberty Bell has inscribed upon it a verse taken from the book of Leviticus that declares, "Let liberty be proclaimed throughout the land." That's Leviticus 25:10. And the very idea of the three entities of government, namely the House of Congress, the Supreme Court, and the presidency, came from the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 22. It says, "For the Lord is our judge," the Supreme Court. "The Lord is our lawgiver," the House of Congress. "And the Lord is our king," the president, or the executive branch. Moreover, the impact of the Bible upon the founders is reflected on the great walls of the nation's buildings, as upon these are inscribed quotes from it, the Ten Commandments, and even images of Moses. The founding fathers drafted a Declaration of Independence, which is supported by a constitution that is in all respects above human ability, and therefore we recognize the hand of God in these. It is this Declaration of Independence and Constitution that guaranteed the success of Dr. Martin Luther King's dream, because he knew that we hold that these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, this is exactly what is trying to be torn down in our very midst. Mm-hmm. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's funny, if any of you watch Fox News, because it's about the only thing we can watch in Israel, you know, Life, Liberty, and Levin. Yeah. So I started reading his book, American, what's it called? It's a bestseller. Come on, you guys have to know the book. I guess not. What's the Russian guy, you know? The
Putin?
No. Way back, 1800s.
Oh. Marx?
Marxism. Golly. Brain freeze. American Marxism. I would recommend the book. It's really unbelievable. The very thing that this country was founded on is being torn down in our midst. I don't think I have to remind you of that. They were tearing down statues, renaming colleges, high schools. George Washington High School, Lincoln High School. Unbelievable stuff, beyond our comprehension. You couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't make it up. It's written in Isaiah 66:1. It says, "Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool." That means that this whole world is to God a footstool.
Amen.
It means that no matter how high our thoughts, our dreams, our visions, God is still above them all. No matter how theological our doctrines, they're only footstool doctrines. He's still way above it. A footstool is made for our feet. Our thoughts, our dreams, our visions, no matter how spiritual, will never be complete, never enough, never be sufficient in themselves. They need the presence of God to rest on them. It's written that God puts everything under Messiah's feet, and so our thoughts, dreams, and visions. We must put everything, every notion, every idea, every dream, every vision under his feet, under his reality, under his rule, under his lordship.
Amen.
Put everything all under God's feet. They exist for one reason only, so you can place them under God's feet. You see, it doesn't matter if these dreams that I had were really from him. It could have been the pizza. The problem is I didn't have pizza, because you can't get good pizza in Israel. I wouldn't have had pizza. I think the dreams were from God, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We find ourselves in the crosshairs of the evil one himself, Satan. God doesn't want to find us on the sidelines, like I was on the sidelines watching that football game. The time is really short. I'm in the 2-minute warning. The world might be in the 2-minute warning. We don't know. You know, in baseball, I know Bert played some little league ball, and I played a lot of ball, a lot of stick ball, a lot of softball, a lot of baseball. The worst thing is when you're up at bat is to strike out. Even worse than that is to take a called third strike. You got the bat on your shoulders. You were fooled, most likely. You were fooled. You were deceived. Maybe you were looking for a curveball and he threw a fastball, or vice versa. Maybe they're throwing fastballs at us. We were waiting for the curve. He does not want us sitting on the sidelines. Time is way too short. We're going to be required, by the way, you know, the Broncos, because I'm a big sports fan, even in Israel. The Broncos tomorrow play their third preseason game, their last preseason game of the season. We've just seen the preseason action. This is practice for the evil one. He's wearing us down. The season hasn't started yet. Maybe it'll start the week after next. This is still preseason. It's going to get tougher, folks. It's going to get a lot tougher. I want to read to you from Matthew 25. Parable of the Talents. I'll read it quickly. For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away, maybe for a couple thousand years. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents, he made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came to settle the account with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here, I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you've delivered me the 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own interest. So take the talent from him, give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That'd be in red letters. I mean, these are the words of Yeshua. These are tough words. He's not talking about money, folks. He's not talking about money. He's coming back looking for his ROI. It's not a Hebrew word. It's not ROI. He's looking for his return on investment. He's going to be looking at all of us. It says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Where's that verse? Come on. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after the things which are coming on the earth. I've read that 100 times and I never gave it that much thought until just recently. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after the things which are coming on the earth. We think we got it tough now. No way. But it's not too late. It's not too late for any of us. That's my admonition and my encouragement to every one of us sitting here and whoever might hear this message. It's time to be about our Father's business.
Good.
And with that thought, for the last 2 years, we have been pretty much not only unemployed, but not able to accomplish hardly anything for the kingdom. And Bess and I, honestly, are not happy with that situation. We joke about our age and stuff, and we know that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We all know that. So we would like you to keep us in your prayers. If you can put us on your list or whatever it is that you guys have in your bulletins and stuff, because we are really seeking the Lord for wisdom and direction. In our travels so far, we actually have been given a couple of opportunities to be involved in ministry in various locations, because we don't want to sit idle anymore. It's been way too long. We were extremely busy for 5 years, and we have done nothing for 2 years. So once before, after 16 years, we came back to Denver and ended up leaving with a ministry that I've spoken about. So we don't have a problem if the Lord calls us back, if we can be doing our Father's business. So we need prayer for wisdom and direction as far as our next step. Because if we stay in Israel, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And it doesn't even seem like there's going to be much change in the near future. It's really a bad situation. I hope I'm wrong. But for this next window of time, we need your prayers. Under the assumption that somewhere down the road, things loosen up and people can get to travel to Israel. Because if you don't know, because we still get inquiries all the time, people don't realize you can't come to Israel. You cannot come unless you're a citizen. And then you have to still pass the PCR, no swab test. And whether you're vaccinated or not, 2 week quarantine. That's the insanity of what's going on there. So, in the event that changes, mission teams are open. We are thinking a little bit in advance, and although our expertise is in mission trips, we have enough contacts that we are putting together. It's already on the books, and it's being offered. If I can find a flyer, if you guys can post it on a bulletin board or somehow make it available. We are hosting a regular full tour to Israel in October of 2022. It'll be a little bit different than the typical tour. We are combining the ability to minister service-wise, working with ministries for 2 or 3 opportunities, and then the rest of the time on a regular standard tour, 9 days, 8 nights, fancy hotels, bus, seeing the entire country. So keep that in your minds. If you're all interested, you can get information for this. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We know, Lord, that should be putting everything under your feet. You are in control of everything. Whatever is happening, you're allowing. So we're trusting and believing that everything will come out as you have planned. Give us the faith that will be required. Give us the trust that will be required. Help us, Lord, to be good servants, to where you will say, good job, good and faithful servant, come into my kingdom. We just thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
An awful lot of ministries are now trying to strengthen the brethren, those who do believe. Outreach has definitely slowed. We still support, but the message that you brought tonight has reinforced the thinking of many. Things that are taking place today in the deception, the believers are not exempt, nor are we immune to the effects of that deception. We're seeing it happen in the body of Messiah continually. It's something that needs to be guarded against. Last 6 months, messages here have been in a similar vein. If we're not in the end times, I'm really scared. if this is, I'm really concerned. the deception that's taking place is like nothing I've ever seen. Larry and I are about the same age. He's a little older than me, and that's why it looks the way it does. Go ahead and laugh. This is the way New Yorkers show affection, by the way.
Yeah.
That's why west of the Hudson, nobody likes us. but the message you bring is a ministry to the body of Messiah, because we're being bombarded by other messages that tell us not to worry.
Yeah.
Not to be concerned. And I believe those messages to be the delusion. We may not know the exact day and hour of the return of our Lord, but certainly we can know the season.
Yes.
And the Lord was very clear, because they did not love the truth, I will send strong delusion that they might believe a lie.
Yeah.
And the lies that abound today are spectacular in their insanity. I mean, they're just simply spectacular. So I would encourage you to embrace this new ministry that the Lord is giving you, and that speak truth. There you go.
Amen.
For the body of Messiah needs to be prepared for what's coming. And I'm not talking about, as I said earlier in this month, I'm not talking about storing food and various. How do you prepare for the time of the end? Drawing close to God.
Yes, amen. Because
there's no way you're
amen.
Going to figure this out.
Amen.
In your mind, the delusion affects the mind.
Yeah.
You got to draw close to God. You got to be in contact with Him.
Amen.
Hearing His word continually. Isaiah 30, 20, and 21. Your teacher will appear. He will tell you to turn to the left or the right.
Amen.
Take my brother's words to heart. Lock them up in your heart. And if you have not taken the time to be alone with God for days on end, do so. You're going to need to recognize that voice amongst the din of all the others. We've been supporting this ministry of Larry and Bess now for, I don't know how long, it's been a long time, decades. If you're going to make out a check tonight and make it out to Roe Yisrael, we'll gather it all together and get them a single offering at the end of tomorrow. Will you be giving the same message or different message? We'll add something to it. And please pray for all the believers in Israel, because right now they're suffering hardships. I mean, the whole nation is suffering to a high degree. Israel is a nation that tourism is a big deal in Israel. And for a year and a half now, that industry, which is probably the largest in Israel, tourism,
outside the military,
of course, they've been shut down for a year and a half. No money coming in. Please keep our brothers and sisters, especially the believers in Israel, in your prayers. And be generous in this offering. My brother and sister have been faithful now for decades. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give praise, honor, and glory to you. And I thank you for the calling that you have placed upon my brother and sister, for the anointing that you have given them to speak light into darkness, to anoint their words to touch the hearts of our brothers and sisters who have been wandering in the sea behind a veil, dimly. I pray, Lord God, that wherever they go, that they would strengthen and prepare the brothers and sisters to face the reality of what's coming. Lord God, have mercy on your children. Open our eyes and ears that we might see and hear, that you would lead us in these pastures. Still the waters. May the peace that passes understanding be upon us, Lord God. And rather than tumult, we would find rest, even in the midst of these times. Mm-hmm. Lord God, help us to lead others through this darkness, this anafel, to the shining light that exists on the other side. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen.